It's the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning here on the WEOL Morning Show, we welcome in Dave O'Brien. Dave, you still kicking it after all this election coverage? I'm sure you're not done, but man, you got to be tired, huh?
Yeah, there's an awful lot to do this week, and and the election really, really kind of takes it out of you. You know, we put a lot of effort into covering all the important races. I mean, all the races are important to somebody. So we try to do the most comprehensive job we can, and it does take a lot out of you.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. And to get caught up with the latest from the election, stay tuned here to WEOL along with the Chronicle-Telegram as well. The Chronicle has updates. Craig Adams has updates for you as well. So we'll continue to get those updates to you. But here, we'll go elsewhere on the local beat in kind of a bit of a gloomy story, I guess, to kick things off here. Dave, right here in Elyria, the jury selection underway for a murder that I believe, reading correctly, took place back in 2019. So I'll let you sort of fill me in on the details here, Dave. What happened here?
Yeah, so this was a situation back in May of 2019. Elyria police and Lorain County prosecutors are saying that Ivan Brooks walked up to the door of a Broad Street residence just between 2:30 and 3 a.m. on March 19th of 2019, and knocked on the door, and when 45-year-old Terrence Taylor answered the door, Ivan Brooks allegedly shot him to death. He then was on the run for about 9 days until he turned himself into authorities, and he was then subsequently, in May of 2019, charged with murder, aggravated murder, felonious assault, a host of other felony charges. His jury selection in his trial started on Monday, and we'll see how that trial goes in front of Judge James Maraldi there in the Justice Center on Court Street in Elyria, and that should be continuing on for at least the rest of this week and probably into next week as well. We've seen that finally make its way into the courthouse. It's been a while. All through the pandemic, there were numerous continuances. Things didn't always go according to plan in the court system while COVID-19 was running around. So things got delayed, moved, motions happened, and all the all the kind of legal wrangling that comes with that kind of stuff. But finally, we have the trial going on.
Yeah, and you're not wrong. We saw a number of things get delayed or put on the back burner, I guess, for a lack of a better phrasing there. So now we are starting to see these trials come to the forefront now and sort of take place. So thank you for filling us in on the latest with that one. Dave, the other story I wanted to talk about here with you this morning also comes from you in Tuesday's Chronicle-Telegram. No jail time for an Avon Lake woman that struck a cyclist back in 2019. Fortunately, no loss of life. But what happened in this one, Dave?
Yeah, so this is another one that's been about 2.5 years, and this actually happened in May of 2019, where Allison Spurl, who's from Avon Lake, was driving in that city, and she ended up striking, injuring a Bay Village woman, Patty Banks, who was on her bicycle riding down the road about the same time. Spurl then fled the scene, didn't call 911. Called up her insurance company instead and said, "I think I hit a trash can." Well, meanwhile, Patty Banks had suffered some really serious life-threatening injuries, was bleeding almost to death on the road. Fortunately, a good Samaritan came along, helped to stop the bleeding, and Patty got treated, and she did survive, but with serious injuries. Ms. Furl was charged in common pleas court. With a host of, felony charges. She eventually pleaded guilty to failure to stop after an accident, tampering with evidence, negligent assault and falsification. Those last two are misdemeanors. And she received 1 year probation and a driver's license suspension in court from Judge John Maraldi on Monday. Ms. Banks was not terribly happy with the results of the sentence. Ms. Spurl actually apologized to her in court, but Ms. Banks said wasn't necessarily buying the whole apology. She basically said, I think Ms. Spurl was just kind of sorry that she got caught. So it was a very controversial situation. the defense had tried to paint Ms. Banks as not following the rules of the road, which, if you're a bicyclist, you have to follow the same rules of the road as as somebody driving a car. I mean, I think a lot of people don't necessarily know that, but that's what Ohio law says. And so there may still be some things that come out of this, but unfortunately, no loss of life, but some serious injuries. And the Banks family has filed a civil lawsuit against the Sproul family for the results of that crash. And and pretty much everybody, agreed that the crash itself was the accident, but it was Ms. Sproul's behavior after the fact, taking her car to an auto shop to get it fixed, saying that she had hit a trash can, and later that she had hit a deer when she'd really hit a human being. So there were some concerns about her behavior afterwards, the lies that she told, and then she chalked some of that up to, hey, I ran from the scene because, I have an anxiety disorder. I didn't want to tell my parents what had happened. I'm a good person. I'm going to school, going to grad school. So there's definitely, this is one of those where there's two sides to the story, absolutely two sides to the story. And, whether or not you felt justice was done is kind of up to you. I mean, I'm just the one there kind of giving you all the information that we have. So it was a really serious situation and pretty much resolved for the time being.
Yeah, and you mentioned a key buzzword, I guess, with this story, controversy, and that's certainly what I saw quite a bit on Tuesday, in the social media comment sections, people saying not enough punishment, what have you. And again, that's not for you or I to decide on here by any means, as we just kind of give you the information, but certainly a bit of a controversial ending so far to that one, Dave. So again, Dave O'Brien is our guest here on The Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you and your colleagues working on over there at the Chronicle-Telegram in terms of upcoming stories? Obviously, we'll expect some election coverage from you guys, but what else can we find in the CT?
Well, beyond that, we'll have some post-election coverage.
There you go.
Depending on whether levies passed or failed in your communities, and what the makeup of village and city councils and school boards, what these new makeups of these boards might exactly look like. Commissioners will be continuing their budget hearings this week. They have a meeting, this morning, and then they will also be continuing budget hearings. And it looks like we will have, if you'll bear with me just a second, so I can look at my agenda here. We'll have the Lorain County Sheriff's Office, Soil and Water Department, Veterans Services Commission, and also the Lorain County Prosecutor's Office will be showing up on Thursday to bring their budgets before the commission, and also to defend them and let it's also kind of a chance for the commissioners to get an update on what exactly is going on in these departments, what their challenges are, what their successes are, and how things have been going this past year.
Whew, a busy week over there at the Chronicle-Telegram, I'll tell you what. And Dave, you are right at the center of just about all of it, my man. So check out Dave and all of the CT's work there at ChronicleT.com. Of course, pick up a physical edition of that Chronicle-Telegram. Believe me, you'll want to do it this week. All right, Dave, well, again, I know you've been super busy this week, but you never disappoint me here. What do you have for me in the way of a scanner story?
Well, Rocco, on the lighter side, we're going to pick on Port Cleveland again.
Uh-oh.
Today. And the Dateline Cleveland, a disturbance at the Wildwood Pavilion, a male throwing bags of dog feces and yelling, "No peace," as though he wants war. Metro Parks Rangers were responding at the time.
Whew. Well, that's you want to be out of the area there. That's a bit of a stinky situation, if you will. So, Dave, we appreciate the scanner story as always. Poor Cleveland, always at the forefront of these. But hey, is what it is. Hey, I appreciate you giving me some insight into what's going on in the county. Looking forward to reading up on your election coverage, Dave. Thank you for giving us some time here this morning. Look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Happy to do it, Rocco, and we'll talk to you later.